Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
It is that very special time where we celebrate none other. But, this person, I couldn't think of a better person to do this with. Abdullah Ibrahim, who is celebrating 90 years this year. It was his birthday this week. And I've asked Percy Mabandu, artist and writer, to come help me celebrate this giant. Percy, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Good evening and welcome.
How could I say no? How could I say no?
Goodness, I mean, that song back then, Dollar Brand, so enchanting.
Yeah, Ntikana's Bell has increasingly become my favorite Abdul Ibrahim song from the album Good News from Home. It's actually Abdullah on piano and flute and vocals, and of course with Johnny Jani on bass and flute as well, and they're singing, and it's just two South Africans who met in exile and were reminiscing about home, and you know, just I suppose meditating and exploring what it means to be this thing that we call South African at the time when they themselves were denied the dignity of being called such. Mm-hmm. You know, to be in exile in the 60s as a black South African opposed to the apartheid state was to almost be homeless, and to find themselves in Europe, you know, and record this album, you know, is very touching for me. You know, Good News from Home is a very lovely album in that it celebrates the complexity of Cape Coloured identity, of Xhosa identity, and these guys also, you know, meet at this idea of modern black identities. Abdul Ibrahim, I think, when you look at him closely, embodies the complexity of this identity that we call South African. Yeah, you know, he's a Cape Coloured guy. His father is a Mosotho. His mother is Cape Coloured. You know, he embraces Islam after having grown up in a kind of Lutheran space, you know, with a grandfather who is a preacher. And he brings in this moment, you know, in 368 years where he's just a regular young South African guy who's living kind of, you know, a very heavy party life, but gets this transformation where he finds Islam. And after finding Islam, he finds Budo. He becomes a karateka and a world-renowned master of Budo. You know, highest-ranking practitioner of this German art, of this Japanese art form. Yeah.
When you listen to that song, that sense of prayer or offering comes through quite deeply. And I suppose, as you were saying, you know, being in exile and not being a citizen of your own country in a way. Brings you closer to whatever you believe the source is. And there is a definite sense of connecting to source, whatever you believe that source is.
And for me, it's interesting. You know, I've always found the music to be so ahead of its time, always has these gems to teach us. We're living in a time where young people are, you know, calling decolonial this, anti-colonial that, and Christianity as a spiritual practice, which is often read as an importation of a colonial, you know, religious practice that is meant to assault our indigenous understandings of the divine, is always, you know, coming up. And this album for me represents how in the 60s, you know, these two guys are exploring this idea. You know, and I think in 1986, the Kenyan scholar Ali Amazrui wrote this book, which became a television series called The Africans, A Triple Heritage. So he plays with this idea of a Muslim, an African who's a Muslim, and an African woman who's a Christian, and them marrying. And in this family identity converges all these three kind of streams of heritage. And I think long before Ali Amazrui was writing about this, you know, Abdul Ibrahim and Johnny Jani are exploring this through the memory of Ntsikana Kagaba, who was one of the earliest, you know, people in the frontiers to embrace Christianity, independent of the missionaries who themselves go teach themselves how to read and figure out this system as a practice, as a way of speaking to, okay, sure, you know, decolonize, but also there's this ingredient of people of this land who embraced this thing independent of the colonial apparatus. So you can see how deeply that the music is thinking about what it means to be, you know, wrestling with the complexities of our identity in a beautiful, prayerful, you know, sensitive, tender, you know, kind of creative process. They stripped the music. They could have brought on the rest of the bands. You know, they could have been a bass here. They could have been drums. They could have been saxophones. But they just, no, it's just two voices, a flute, a piano, and a bass, you know, that Johnny plays. And that simplicity, I think, is about letting go of the baggage and really coming to terms with deeper issues, which I think, for the most part, has been the message of Abdullah Ibrahim's life. You know, going through the changes and dealing with the essentials. I think, you know, the central message of Abdullah Ibrahim's life has been about getting to the essence of things without foregoing complexity. Right, that you can be elegant and simple, and still complex, but not complicated.
Yeah. Award-winning pianist Kyle Shepherd, Percy, how are we connecting this? And I mean, for me, it makes so much sense because it's a thread. It's a thread. It's so obvious why, you know, you played what we started with and came to this song, obviously celebrating the life of Abdullah Ibrahim as he turns 90 this week. Talk to us about why you picked this particular song.
Kyle Shepherd is by far one of the most, you know, important pianists of his generation, and we have a lot, and that's saying, you know, a lot. So when he came out, I think it was 2008, it was this young kid who had given up on the possibility of completing studies at UCT because he felt they were not going to teach him anything he doesn't know. And he slapped up with, you know, big old monster Zimlawana, you know, to go learn from him. And of course, Zimlawana himself had learned from Abdullah Ibrahim, so you can see the lineage continuing there. But thinking a lot about who he was going to be as a jazz musician, as a pianist in this country and this culture. Kyle Shepherd produces an album called Fine Art, and at the heart of that album, one of the most unremarked songs is this one, AI, he calls it. Of course, AI is how Abdullah Ibrahim often signs his emails, so it's a kind of insider thing. You know, if you know, he writes AI, it's a play on artificial intelligence. It's also his own initials. It's Abdullah Ibrahim. So Kyle has often been compared with Abdullah in the fact that he wrestles with this thing we call Cape Jazz, right? When I had a, you know, one of my many conversations with Kyle, you know, and I teased him about this. I said, look, man, what do you do about the fact that you are such a visionary pianist and composer in your own right and a searching, you know, improviser? And you often be compared to Abdullah Ibrahim as a forebear. He says, but who best to be compared to?
Yes, what a compliment. What a compliment.
Who best to be compared to, you know? And I really, you know, I sort of almost wanted to hug him when he said that, because I had been defending that. You know, we often look for the music of Duke Ellington, of you know, Thelonious Monk and all the other greats in the sound of younger American musicians, right? In fact, we celebrate them for their knowledge of their history when they do that. And so we want to hear the blues in American jazz. And I felt that it was important and a real victory to have Kyle emphasize the you know, the hallmarks, the milestones that come that he had to follow to find his own voice. And that for me was important. So it was also answering this question that I've always wrestled with, that flows from, you know, I think when Abdullah turned 80, we're celebrating his 90th now. When Abdullah turned 80, the Downbeat magazine ran a number of stories, and Gregory Himes, who's one of my favorite writers there, you know, argued that Abdullah Ibrahim is the true heir to Duke Ellington and Thelonious Monk's traditions or their legacies, you know, because of his ability to invent off-kilter melodies and his quirky note choices, mm-hmm. you know, in the way in which he plays. And if you take the idea that the future of jazz has always been nestled somewhere, you know, creatively between Thelonious Monk and Duke Ellington in terms of creative approaches, and to then say that Abdullah Ibrahim is their true heir, mm-hmm. then you have to ask yourself the question, what does it mean to come from the same culture that has produced Abdullah Ibrahim, mm-hmm. right? So if you come from the culture that produced this man that is said to be, you know, the true heir of these two giants, I mean, you know, maybe just to underscore that,
yeah.
you know, Duke Ellington single-handedly created modern American music, mm. full stop, mm. right? Mm. And of course, you know, Thelonious Monk is like God being bored. So, you know, to be an heir, it's like that. You know, to be then heir to their tradition is a serious thing to be, you know, credited with. Mm. Now, as a culture shepherd, as a young musician in South Africa who inherits, you know, the culture, or who comes out of the same culture as that person and play the same instrument, then, you know, you can imagine what kind of, you know, creative choices that, you know, that are thrust before you, and what kind of heritage you are being charged to inherit.
Mm.
So I've kind of, you know, think about that when I hear this music. So I started then looking for younger pianists, other pianists mm-hmm. other than Kyle,
mm-hmm.
who are wrestling with the meaning of Abdullah Ibrahim,
mm.
and it is lush and it's beautiful, and you'll smile once you start paying attention.
Abdullah Ibrahim's 90th birthday. This is the music of Bokani Daya. Percy Mabandu is helping us do this wonderful, wonderful job of going through musicians who've celebrated Abdullah's life and music and contribution to jazz as a whole. Percy, your take on why you picked this particular song? I think Percy is on. Percy, are you able to hear me? You've muted yourself, Percy. Percy, you've muted yourself. Can you hear us?
I can see. Sorry, buttons. Too many buttons on the screen.
Yes. Welcome back. Yes.
Too many buttons on the screen. Yeah. So Bokani is fascinating for me, you know, because he's such an astute and gifted pianist.
Mm.
I think Bokani's pianism, if you will,
mm-hmm.
is uh-huh. just up there, you know, as you know, the best of them. But somehow, like other musicians before him, you know, he's first becoming known more for his other musical exploits. I'm thinking here of people like Victor Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that Victor Anthony was a bass player,
yes.
instrumentalist.
Yeah.
We think of him as a kind of, you know, musical director, composer, and band leader, you know, who sort of make other musicians look good. And I think Bokani is in that space. But what I find interesting about what Bokani does with the music of Abdullah Ibrahim, he does, you know, so he goes to what we may call the musical grammar of Abdullah Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
He looks for the language, the musical language of Abdullah Ibrahim, and make it speak, you know, so playing Abdullah Ibrahim, not trying to sound, so to be affected and not infected
mm-hmm.
by the music of Abdullah Ibrahim. So what Bokani is showing us here is that there is a pianism, there is a musical language that is uniquely Abdullah, you know, but you can play it, you know, as yourself.
Yes.
You know, so you can play Abdullah Ibrahim-isms, if you will, without sounding like you're mimicking him,
mm.
right? Mm. So you're not mimicking him, but you're playing his language, which advances the heritage and legacy of Abdullah's music. You know, the same kind of things that I'm remembering Gregory Himes earlier talking mm. about. That, you know, Abdullah's ability to invent singable melodies out of, you know, quirky note choices, you know, of kilter rhythms, you know, how the unique way in which he's able to improvise and, you know, and stay within the cut. That is part of what makes Abdullah kind of unique. And And what you're hearing here, this kind of cyclical, you know, recycling of phrases, you know, dealing with a theme, letting it go, returning to it again, you know, after exploring particular, you know, melodic choices in that composition that Bokane does. This is something that we've heard Abdullah, you know, do and intensify to a point where when you hear an Abdullah Ibrahim song, nobody has to tell you that it is. You know it when you hear it, that this is something, you know, that's clearly, you know, Abdullah Ibrahim's song. And so for me, Bokane's contribution to this conversation is exactly that, is to show us how we're able to advance the musical language, you know, that has been minted by Abdullah Ibrahim beyond the person of Abdullah as a kind of usable heritage that we can all drink from. And I think that's something to marvel at. And I imagine that, you know, it would have taken somebody like Bokane Dia to be able to do that, because as I'm saying, he not only is a consummate pianist himself, but is somebody who sings a lot as a producer. So he's a musician's musician. He's able to work with other musicians, you know, in a very productive way. And I kind of like him for that. But I hope that we will not forget that Bokane is an incredible pianist in his own right.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more after this. The music of Nduduzo Makatini as we celebrate 90 years of Abdullah Ibrahim with Percy Mabandu. Abdullah, this, I mean, I don't have to explain it because it is so Abdullah. It's so Abdullah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nduduzo was a little bit late to the party. I've had this call. And I'm glad he's come around. And I'm getting goosebumps because I know that, you know, Sensei is listening, which, the you know, as we speak. So I now become self-conscious as I speak about him. I mean, Nduduzo is a bit late to the party, but I'm glad he's finally around. I mean, I remember when he released his solo album, Reflections, a while back. I said, brother, you've got a solo album, and I don't hear you speaking enough in, you know, on that piano about Sensei. I need you to reflect. And of course, he had been honoring, you know, other heroes, you know, like the great Bekim Seleku and the great Zimlawana and so on. But I think now that, you know, that Makatini has refined his musical language, he also finds time in his new trio record to also pay tribute to Sensei Abdullah Ibrahim. And I mean, it's that thing that I spoke about earlier about how to advance the musical grammar, you know, the pianism that is so idiosyncratically, you know, AI, and take it and make it your own and speak other things beyond being, you know, not mimicking, but using that language to say other deeper things for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think, I do think that all the albums that Nduduzo Makatini had been working on, you know, over the years, were his attempt to make this record that he just made now. I think this trio record embodies the best of Nduduzo. It culminates in that search. You know, I said this to him last year at the Joy of Jazz. I said, you know, this is the record you've been trying to make, and I think he's done it. And I'm so happy that he does it just as he figures out, you know, that he too sits under this big tree that we call Abdullah Ibrahim.
Percy, I've got to tell you, I have so many messages on my phone asking for part two.
I thought so. There's two groups that I've on with Bo Oyama Mabandla. They are listening. So one of them has Tokyo Sohwale on it, who called Abdullah, who happens to be listening himself. So I think he got cold feet because he wanted to get on. I don't know what happened. I gave his numbers to Tad. I thought he'd take the call.
What an honor. It's been such an incredible journey as we celebrate 90 years. So will it be part two? In fact, Percy, I think the Abdullah Ibrahim is on the line with us. A very good evening, and thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Good evening, and thank you. Thank you for the call. Thank you to all the listeners. Make me feel at home. Thank you.
Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. How has it been?
Well, thank you. I'm playing some four concerts. Tonight was the first one.
Yes.
So we just finished the first concert. Yeah.
Percy?
Oh, Sensei, thanks for joining us. We're really happy that you are still at it. And we give thanks for the music over the years. I think it makes us better.
You're welcome. We are blessed, sir. We are blessed.
Well, we've been listening to people paying tribute to your music, and it never stops to please us. It never stops to make us proud that you're one of us. So we really, really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you very, very much. I must practice, man. I must practice. I must intense my practice.
Yeah.
I must play 25 hours a day now. Or 26.
26 hours a day, Sensei.
Yes, sir. We practice. We practice every minute to perfect and bring something perfect to the listeners. With deep respect for
thank you.
Yeah.
What an honor to have you on the line with us. I really appreciate you taking the time to call in, and all the best with what you're doing this evening. As you said, you know, you've been playing, and thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you. This is a wonderful, wonderful call. It's very heartwarming. All best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Percy, what a way to end this part one, meaning part two is on the way.
Thank you. No, I mean, the magnanimity of Sensei for calling in, I think it's to be,
speaks volumes.
To be really celebrated. I mean, no words can do better than that. I mean, having his voice here while we're celebrating him is indeed, you know, I mean, you know, goes without saying, so it's such a deep honor. Mm. And we are honored to have him as one of our own, you know, to have an elder like him in our culture is to be celebrated. We should sit at his feet and be made more.
Percy Mabandu, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And looking forward to that part too. It's 10 o'clock. We'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.